time for entertainment news. Hello, Dean Richards.
Good morning, everybody.
You know what I was thinking about over the weekend? We're all watching a lot of Netflix and movies. And so my wife and I finished a couple of series. And how are we going to remember where we left off, because it's quite a while before like season two comes back or the next season in a lot of these shows. I can't even remember, like, one of the shows we watched was called The One, and then we watched another one I think it's something like, I don't know, Things Aren't What They Seem, and it was somebody whose sister got killed, and it's another thriller. And I barely remember what happened when we watched over the weekend, and now if it comes back like in 6 months, how am I gonna pick up on that?
And
there's so many series. We're all watching many at one time.
Right, yeah. An example of that was last night for The Walking Dead, that had its conclusion of season 10. And, they put out a little teaser. If you're a Walking Dead fan, if you go on YouTube and just put Walking Dead teaser on it, you'll see a little teaser of season 11, which will be their final season. But that's not going to start until the winter of 2022. So you're going to have to remember whatever happened last night, all the way until the winter of 2022. They're going to give you 8 episodes then, and then 8 more episodes in the following summertime. So you're going to have to remember that, and then that's going to wind up the original, Walking Dead series. Then they're going to go off to some spinoffs. It'll probably be 6 to 9 months beyond that.
Well, they have to make, when they return, the first episode should just be a recap.
Yeah.
You
need those. You need those. Or they think, I guess a lot of people will re-binge before watching to remind themselves. That's a lot of work for entertainment, in my opinion.
Well, some people actually got out of the house and went to a movie, didn't they?
It's crazy. Yeah, they had a record-breaking weekend at the actual box office. People actually going to movie theaters this weekend. And it happened to be Godzilla and King Kong that brought people back into the theaters again. The movie made $48 million since its release. That's the most money that any movie has made in its opening weekend in over a year since the pandemic began. It's also the most money that any movie has made. If you combine the past 5 weeks of top box office winners combined, so it really had a great weekend. And on top of all of that, the movie was also available on HBO Max. So there were plenty of places to go see this. A lot of people just decided they were comfortable going back into theaters again, because the number one movie pretty much for the past year has been $1 million, $2 million, three maybe. But $48 million for Godzilla versus King Kong, they still have their box office appeal. Then the movie Unholy came in second with only $3 million total. The Bob Odenkirk movie Nobody came in third place, followed by Raya and the Last Dragon and Tom and Jerry.
I'm surprised that, regarding that Bob Odenkirk movie, I'm really interested after hearing what you had to say in your interview with him. And then you hear in the same breath they announce it's in theaters. They tell you when it's going to be available streaming. So don't the studios, I mean, wouldn't it be better if they didn't even tell us that? I mean, I'm glad they did, but doesn't that tell people, well, why go to the theater? You're going to be able to watch it at home here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think some people, just want the option of knowing one way or the other. And, they're trying to get people back into the theaters again. This has been a big battle for the last year between the theater owners and the movie studios of not completely shutting out the theater owners, the theaters, by putting everything on streaming platforms. They have to, play nice with the theater owners' associations. So it's been a real balancing act. Like Godzilla and King Kong is in theaters and also on HBO Max, but it's only going to be on HBO Max for 30 days, and then we'll go exclusively back to theaters again. That's the deal that they made pretty much with all the movies for that particular studio, which is Warner Brothers, which is the same studio that put out over the weekend its first look at the new Space Jam movie. You know, it's been 25 years since that Space Jam movie
wow.
with Michael Jordan came out. I was shocked when I realized that. And now they've got all the Looney Tune characters back again, this time with LeBron James as the, you know, and other NBA superstars are part of the storyline. There's one interesting scene in this trailer that I'm shocked that the PC police didn't shut down. They show LeBron with Bugs Bunny, with Daffy Duck, and there's a scene where somebody throws Yosemite Sam the basketball, and they tell him to shoot, and he takes out his guns, and he shoots the basketball.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, oh my, that's, you know, we've become desensitized to that sort of unnecessary gun shooting at basketballs.
You know, I think Yosemite Sam will be issuing an apology a little later today.
Right.
You'll be reporting on that.
Yeah, they took away Elmer Fudd's guns for that reason. They didn't want to promote gun violence, mm-hmm. but they forgot to take away, and Pepe Le Pew was Pepe Le Pew was supposed to be in the movie. They took him out because of the sexual assault hinting that his character has mm-hmm. more than had over the years, mm-hmm. but they never took Yosemite Sam's guns away. It's very interesting, and I am obviously overanalyzing this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know that Pepe Le Pew has hired a big law firm, so we'll be hearing from him.
Gloria Allred.
And Elmer Fudd is very upset.
Yeah.
The Screen Actors Guild Awards were announced last night. Are these any indication of
yes.
Who will win the Oscars?
Oh, yes. Yes, very definitely. The actors' wing of the Academy, you know, which the people who vote on the Academy Awards are in the, you know, like 7,000-9,000 people. It's huge. And the biggest body of voters for the Academy are the actors. You know, whatever your specialty is, that's the category you vote in. If you're an actor, you vote for actors. If you're a cinematographer, you vote in that category. Directors vote for directors, producers, etc. So the biggest body of voters are actors, and the Screen Actors Guild Awards are actors voting for actors, strictly for the acting performances, not production, not special effects, not anything else. And the big winner, Bob, I'm surprised you weren't there, for Best Ensemble, their uh-huh. top award.
My movie.
The Trial of the Chicago Seven, starring Bob Sarad.
Uh-huh. Yeah, featuring my audio line buried under so much other audio you can barely hear me, but I will accept it.
All the Hollywood insiders are saying that was the key to victory for them.
Of course. Yeah.
Last night. A lot of other movies didn't have the Bob Sarad touch on it to tip it in like that.
Of course.
But that was the big winner, so that, you know, speaks highly. Sacha Baron Cohen's been nominated for Best Supporting Actor from that movie, so you know that's it speaks very highly for him. But the individual awards last night, the late Chadwick Boseman again for lead actor, Viola Davis again for lead actress, both of them from Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, for supporting roles from the movies, Daniel Kaluuya, who hosted Saturday Night Live over the weekend, won Best Supporting Actor from Judas and the Black Messiah. The South Korean actress, Yoo Jung-yoon, won Best Supporting Actress for the movie Minari. And this is the first time that actors of color swept all four of the acting categories, which is kind of a big deal. So it could be a very diverse year at the Oscars for that. Over on the TV side, The Crown won again for Best Drama. Schitt's Creek again for Best Comedy. Jason Bateman won Best Actor in a Drama from Ozark. Gillian Anderson, Best Actress from The Crown. TV Comedy, Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso. And Catherine O'Hara winning Best Actress in a Comedy for Schitt's Creek.
Dean, what is the news about Bridgerton today?
Yeah, this is you know, a devastating piece of news to lots and lots of people, that the star of Bridgerton, Regé Jean Page, is not going to be returning to the show as Duke of Hastings. He announced it on Twitter. It has been confirmed by the show. that he was only, he says, I was only supposed to be there for one season anyway. There was never any intention for him to continue beyond that. Those of you that have read the books know that he's not, you know, a continuing character through it. So the guy who really put the show on the map, the reason that a lot of people have been watching this show because of this beefcake guy, is not going to be there. And I posted this when the news broke over the weekend. I put it up on my social media. I was deluged with comments.
I bet.
To sum up the comments in just one of the tweets that I got, somebody put, how am I supposed to go on with my life now without the Duke of Hastings in there? So
that's a bit much.
Be that as it may, Robin Baumgarten this morning, I thought she was going to fall off the chair this morning. She was, a lot of people really like this guy.
Oh, I know.
So there is good news, though, that he is going to be in some other projects. He's got a Netflix movie with Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling that's going to be coming out in 2022. He's going to be in the adaptation of Dungeons and Dragons with Chris Pine. That's also going to be coming out next year. But this is actually kind of big news. It's not confirmed or anything, but he has now become the leading candidate rumored to replace Daniel Craig as James Bond.
Ah, very
when
good.
Daniel Craig is going to, you know, hang up the Aston Martin when this next movie comes out. He would actually be a really good James Bond.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So we'll see. We'll see if that winds up being true.
And who got this big donation from The Weeknd?
The Weeknd made a $1 million donation to Ethiopian charities related to the World Food Program. On social media, he talked about how children and elderly people are being senselessly murdered there. Entire villages are being displaced because of fear and destruction of the political angst that's going on there. He actually was born in Toronto, but both of his parents immigrated to Canada from Ethiopia. So he is of Ethiopian descent and wanted to help out his people, as he put it on Instagram. And the money, the $1 million, will go to the World Food Program there. He's encouraging others to donate if they can. By my count, with different organizations over the past year, it's given away about $4 or $5 million to COVID-19 relief, to other hunger programs, to Black Lives Matter. Very, very charitable, helping other people and causes that he believes in.
Nice. Now we're hearing, Dean, that Yosemite Sam, Elmer Fudd, and Pepe Le Pew will have a press conference all together, and I assume you'll be covering that for WGN Radio and television?
We will be breaking into regular programming the second. I believe that this Tweety Bird is going to be making an opening statement, and then they will be getting to the defendants later on.
And then when they're done, someone will hit you over the head with a frying pan.
Right. Yeah. That's all, folks.
See you tomorrow.
See you.